Hi, I'm Rick Outzen, publisher and owner of InWeekly, Pensacola, Florida's alt-weekly newspaper, and the author of the Walker Holmes books, City of Grudges and Blood in the Water. And this is And the Murders Began. These podcasts are conversations with best-selling authors and journalists about their craft. This episode features Mike Farisee. Mike hails from St. Paul, Minnesota. His books have held the number one slot in the Kindle store in the U.S., U.K., Australia, Canada, and India. He was awarded the Crime Masters of America Poison Cup Award in January 2019. He has created four series, The Hot Shots, Dev Haskell, Private Investigator, Corridor Man, and Jack Dillon, Dublin Tales. His mystery suspense thrillers have a rich strain of humor and romance and are populated with the sort of quirky oddball characters that just add to the entertainment. I hope you enjoy our conversation as much as I did.
What drew me to you was when I was working on my second book and I started looking at different authors that had successful series, and your name kept popping up in my Amazon feed as books you might like. So I went ahead and got Russian Roulette and just really got hooked on Devlin Haskell.
Oh, great.
How would you describe Devlin?
He's a character. You know, in general, he's sort of the guy you maybe knew in high school, and you hadn't seen him for a couple of years, and you'd wondered, I wonder what he's up to. But you know, in the back of your mind, you don't want to get too close. He's always got an interest in a new lady friend who probably looks at him and thinks, you know, with a little work, yeah, he could be okay. And then by the end of the book, they're saying, you know, please don't ever call me again.
Well, I like the cast of characters that you've created around him are interesting and really add a richness to your stories.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's great. Dev would never be the guy parachuting onto the roof of the White House to save the president. Most of the people he deals with are involved in a life that has some bad decisions. But then bad decisions make for pretty interesting stories. So.
They do.
Yeah.
I write in first person. You write the Dev mysteries in first person.
Yeah.
Why'd you choose to do that?
You know, I tried doing second and third, and quickly what I was doing was writing, you know, a page and a half here, followed by another page and a half across town, and it just, this gives me, and hopefully the reader, a lot more focus, and the reader can basically ride along on Dev's shoulder and experience the same things that Dev does with the same thought process of, you know, oh my God. So, you know, it works well.
Yeah, I like it because I like the reader to get inside the head of the protagonist and kind of realize that the outside world may see him or her as being perfect or hard-ass or difficult, and then in the inside it may or may not be the same thing going on in that person's head.
Yeah, from time to time he does something that generates a lot of comments from readers who say, oh, who knew, you know, and he's done something nice or someone's helped him out, you know. I wrote a short story and in it, Dev's a veteran of Iraq, and he's with a bunch of veterans on Memorial Day placing wreaths at monuments, and all of a sudden it comes time for him to place the monument, and he just is sort of locked in place and can't think to do it. He's thinking too far back to the stuff he experienced, and this girl, this high school girl is there, and he had actually taken her to a prom because her boyfriend dropped her on the day of the prom, and she had a new dress. Anyway, Dev takes her to the dance, and suddenly she comes up and helps him put the wreath on the memorial and stuff. I got a ton of responses from people on that stuff. It's very interesting.
Yeah, it's what my character, Walker Holmes, is extremely flawed. He drinks too much. He runs into fires instead of running away from them. He gets beat up continually. And on the outside, his enemies just think he's just this rock that they can't do anything to. And inside, you realize he's second guessing himself the whole time. And I think that it seems to work. You do your stories, or this series, the Devlin Haskell series, is based in St. Paul. What makes St. Paul a good place to use as a setting?
Well, it's a crazy town. I could go back in history, and it was sort of, certainly for the Midwest, it was the vacation spot for the mobsters in the 20s and 30s, and gradually got straightened out. But going forward from there, one, I was born and raised here, so I'm familiar with it.
Right.
And the places I describe actually exist. I mean, the spot bar that Dev is always in is a real place, pretty much the way I describe it. The restaurants, the coffee shops, the streets, that type of stuff. I know it, and yet I feel pretty strongly that when people read it, they can also transfer it to wherever the locale they're in. And so, yeah, I know a place like that. And, oh, that reminds me of, you know, thus and such. And it, I think because of the familiarity that I have with it, it just helps me keep that in line with Dev, that he's, you know, he's the guy you know or know of. And like I say, you want to maybe keep your distance.
Well, and there're not a lot of mystery series written out of St. Paul, Minnesota.
Although not out of St. Paul necessarily, but probably one of the big ones that that comes to mind would be the Virgil Flowers series from John Sanford.
Yeah,
Davenport.
Davenport, right.
Yeah, that definitely. But, you know, in fact, it's interesting you say that, because one of the things that sort of got me focused on the locale and just Dev Haskell are two Florida writers, Carl Hyacin, of course, and then Lawrence Shames, whose his main characters are down in Key West. But it just, you know, I've never been to Key West, but I could absolutely identify with the stuff that was going on. You know, it's wonderful. It's, you know, someone told me once, oh, you're writing literature. And I thought, no, that's the last thing I'm writing. I'm in the entertainment business. And hopefully my books serve as an escape for people, particularly in today's crazy world.
Well, for someone that's, you know, on the Mississippi, on the Florida Gulf Coast and grew up in Mississippi, to read your books, I feel like I sort of know St. Paul from it.
And, yeah.
I'm not sure I want to visit, but
my wife calls it the biggest small town. You know, it just, everyone knows everyone. And, you know, if someone's going to tell you a story, they start out with, you know, three generations of description and then get to the point.
Well, you've written 26 Devlin Haskell novels, two of them published this year. Each of them are over 300 pages, so they're not novellas, they are full books. And then you've also got two other series that you're working on.
Yeah.
What's the secret to being so prolific? How do you do that?
Well, I'm the most boring guy in town. you know, actually, it's no secret. I am blessed to be doing something that I love to do. And I can do it full time, which I do 7 days a week. I'm writing or editing or God forbid, some marketing of some sort in today's world. But I love doing it. And, you know, I work off a very, I'll say, a general outline. It's really just sort of three pages of notes that I more or less follow and add to and delete as we go along. But I love doing it, work at it very hard, and like I say, I'm blessed to be able to have something I like to do.
Do you work on more than one book at a time?
No, I have tried that, and it was an absolute disaster. So I have to really stick to the one. And the day that goes out the door to, I've got a number of editors, and when that goes to the editor, I'm on page one of the next book.
So that's when you're ready to send it off, that's when you start the next one.
Right, yeah. Exactly. And literally 24 hours later. And it's been like that, and I'm blessed to do it. Once in a while, my wife says, come on, we're going somewhere. We're going out to dinner, whatever it happens to be. She's had it with me locked in a room. But
we must write a pretty good, clean first copy then, because I can't leave the book until it's almost published. But I've only done two, and I'm...
Well, I could still go back and probably change and adjust things, but, once it's written and then it's through the editors and it's up there, you know how it is. It's gone through uncountable pairs of eyes looking at it, and 2 years later, someone sends me an email and says, "Say, I don't know if you know this, but, he was wearing... a green shirt when he started out, and suddenly he's in a football jersey or something, something basic like that that everyone missed." So there's always room. And the beauty with ebooks now and electronic publishing, you can change it in about 3 minutes.
Right, right. That's true. And me being a newspaper guy, it's just I learned to let go of the typos pretty quick because I've got the next paper coming.
Well, hopefully there aren't too many, But, yeah, I mean, there it is, something basic. I misspelled my name in the title or something,
Talking about marketing, the other place I ran across you was a Facebook group called Crime Masters of America.
Sure, yeah.
Tell us about that, how that came about.
It's a group of largely independent writers, but I know there's some traditionally published people just trying to get the word out there. I mean, there's nothing like a fee or anything like that. Just promote your books. Occasionally there's a discussion on something. Just trying to, make it a little bit easier for people. A lot of folks available for some advice of things to do or not do. We've all had those experiences. But it's a nice little group. I don't know. It's fairly small in relationship to a number of sites online. I don't know, there might be, I'm going to say 500 members. The vast majority are crime fiction authors, but there's some avid readers in there, too.
Now, last month you published the latest Devlin Haskell book, Dream House. Tell us a little bit about it. Then you've got another book that's coming out real soon, so we'll talk about both of them, but tell us about Dream House first.
Well, of course, they're all works of genius, but Dream House is actually a number of books back. I wrote a title called What Happens in Vegas, and that was about 10 books ago in the Dev Haskell series. And Dev, through a series of events, has a trip to Vegas with a girlfriend named Barbie Dahl, D-A-H-L. And she's a surgically enhanced, avid follower of the Barbie doll. Once she gets to Vegas, she ends up staying there as Dev's investigating a crime. She has now come back 10 books later. She's out of Vegas. She's come back to meet Dev, or actually to get his help. She's going to establish a hospital that repairs Barbie dolls, and it's called the Dream House. And unfortunately, her $1 million Barbie collection is missing. She's taken up with a guy whose real name is Arnold Wazinski, but he's Ken Carson, a male version of Barbie's attachment to the Barbie doll. He's attached to the Barbie's significant other in the doll world. And anyhow, he's missing with her Barbie collection, and Dev is in the process of trying to locate it. It gets a little crazy, but for my generation, just about every, certainly every American girl had a Barbie doll at some time or another, and gotten a lot of great comments, a lot of good feedback, and a lot of readers, so
good.
It's been fun.
Now you've got a Corridor Man coming out, number 10.
Mm-hmm.
That's coming out soon. I've already ordered my pre-copy,
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about that one.
The Corridor Man is about a disbarred attorney named Bobby Custer, who he's serving time for some illegal procedures, and makes a deal with the feds, and they cut his sentence short if he'll basically go under. They guarantee him a position at a law firm that's suspected of conducting some under the counter activity, and he gets there, and through a series of events, he gets hooked up with not the nicest people in the world, and basically fits right in, and over a period of 10 books, builds his own criminal enterprise, and in the process, destroys the law firm. It's actually somewhat based on an individual I knew of who served some time after some illegal misbehavior. It's been a lot of fun to write. It's a lot more gritty and violent than the Dev Haskell series or the Jack Dillon series, that third one. But it's been interesting to do. Number 10 is actually the final book in that series. I'm putting it to rest just because with four series going, I just don't have the time to adequately get out the next book. You know, in today's world, the days of if you're writing a long series like I am, the days of doing one every 2 years are pretty much over. And in fact, I should mention, when that thing goes live, all the preceding books in that Corridor Man series will be free in two box set, you know, for a couple of days. So hopefully anyone who wants to grab it and hasn't read the other ones can get those other books for free.
When's it going live?
That is going live, I believe, on the 22nd of this month.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry, that's the 23rd.
You know, who do you like to read, and what have been some of your influences in your writing?
Oh, man. I was an avid reader even as a kid. Again, I'm going to use the excuse of it just offered me an escape from the world. And I've largely settled into crime fiction for my reading, enjoyment reading. I mentioned Hyacin and Lawrence James and Sanford, but Elmore Leonard, Carmen Amato, Dick Belsky, even Janet Ivanovich, which I enjoyed a number of her books. When I need a break from crime fiction, I usually gravitate towards some sort of historical novel of some sort.
That's funny. I just interviewed Dick Belsky this morning. So,
oh, did you?
Yeah. So I've got Julie Smith and Dick and you. So I think I've got a pretty good start to this.
Oh, great!
Series.
Great. Yeah, Dick's been very successful. Julie too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know he won. Killer Nashville last year and possibly the year before. I forget, but highly regarded. I had the pleasure of meeting him. Nice guy. Real nice guy.
Really is. It was a real interview. Almost as good as an interview as you. So
set your sights higher.
Thank you for listening to And the Murders Began. To learn more about Mike Farisee and his writing, visit MikeFariseeBooks.com. To find out about Walker Holmes and his Pensacola, check out RickOutson.com. Again, thank you for listening.